nobody open. Running out of time. Finally throws, and it is gone! Touchdown, Dyrell Roberts!
Catch time. Throws.
Yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. Man, I feel like money.
Man, I feel like this is Moneyline. Welcome to week 9. We are officially over halfway through this very weird college football season, and I am joined by my very weird, brotherly weird co-host, Ben King. Ben, how are you this evening?
CJ, man, after last week, I'm licking my wounds.
Have you picked out your stitches yet?
Not quite. Haven't completely healed from the 0-5, 100% in the negative week. You had a good week though, man.
Well,
congratulations.
You were 1-4. I ended 5-0. So you weren't completely 0-5. It's that Oklahoma State game. Got the backdoor cover.
If I had actually bet on the spread, yes. What I said is not what I bet on. I bet on them to win outright. And you know what? Iowa State, you failed me. But I'm going to learn from my lessons. Looked way too much into the stuff last week. I thought with the Big Ten opening up, there would be some teams that would perform better than they did. And some teams, you know, I'm really glad we didn't pick either the Penn State or Michigan State game. Because what in the world? But we'll get to those in a little bit.
Yeah.
What a weird week, though.
I know. Well, the Penn State game was so weird because Penn State completely outplayed Indiana. I mean, not just on the numbers. If you watched that game, Indiana had no business being in that game. They didn't, but Penn State, you got to hand it to them. Penn State did everything they could to not win that game between turnovers, penalties, 100 yards and penalties, absolutely insane. Some terrible decisions there by James Franklin down the stretch. And then, I know everybody wants to argue controversial call. Was he in? Was he not in? Personally, all that has to happen is the tip of the football just has to go 1 inch across the goal line. That's it. So if the tip of the football is anywhere across the white part, if it's over the white part at all, it's in, and that's what everybody was missing, is everybody's looking at, well, it hit the ground before it hit the pylon. Doesn't matter. If the tip of the ball is just over that white line, he's in. And what I thought looking at that call, Ben, and you can tell me if you thought otherwise, but I didn't think there was anything that replay showed that indicated the tip of that ball did not go across that white line. Now, is it probable? Probably didn't go across, but that's not enough to overturn what was called on the field. And if it were me, the official, I probably wouldn't have called it a touchdown and then gone back to review it. And then, of course, the play goes to penalty state. That's what we can call them. But based on what was called on the field, I thought the booth got it correct. Did you kind of feel the same way?
I'll tell you this. As an Auburn fan, that football hit Sean Shiver's finger harder than that ball did not cross that goal line. That was the 100% right call, and it was two-point conversion win. Like, Penn State, look, Auburn had there's been so much going around on Auburn Twitter. It's a terrible place. But we actually were, like, looking at Penn State's coach, and after that game, everyone's saying, nah, we'll keep Gus instead of him. So, probably an overstatement. Most Auburn fans are like that. But What a stupid game.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I don't think James Franklin would leave Auburn or would leave Penn State to go to Auburn. I think once you get a job like Penn State, I think you're pretty much there unless somebody either just comes with a huge paycheck or the NFL comes calling. Now, where we are for the year, I am sitting at 19-19, so I officially off of that 5-0 week. I am back to 500 now. Really, I'm 500 for the first time all year since pre-week one. Ben is now at 21-17. So we talked about last week how great he was doing. Now he's kind of back to more of a realistic number. Grand scheme of things, Ben, 21-17 is still a very good number. Most handicappers want to be somewhere in that 52-55% range. You're still hitting on all cylinders as far as that's concerned. So I'm not worried about it. I think your numbers are still looking great for the year.
I appreciate it. Last week was bad. You're
welcome. You're welcome. And that said, now that I've built you up, Ben, let's talk about your Auburn Tigers. Auburn this week welcomes in the other Tigers in the SEC, one of the few Tigers, LSU. LSU comes into this as a road favored by 3. The over-under is 65.5. Ben, favorite in Jordan Hare, it kind of feels a little iffier to take LSU. What do you think?
So let's break down the numbers. Auburn is currently being outscored 25-24 and outgained 401-386 in games so far this season. And honestly, if you look at this Auburn team, if the plays, the calls, both in Arkansas and Ole Miss had gone another direction, this team would be 1-4. So not a great year for Auburn. I've been following this since I was a little kid, and I've seen good Auburn teams. I've seen bad Auburn teams, and unfortunately this one's leaning a lot more towards the bad. LSU, on the other hand, is trash. So, but statistically, look a lot better. They're outscoring teams 42-30. Outgaining teams 486-472, and they just destroyed University of South Carolina 52-24, a team that beat Auburn the week before. Between the two quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Miles Brennan, they look almost identical. Miles Brennan has a few more touchdowns, not a big deal. Auburn has found the running game here of late, going over 200 yards in each of the last 3 games. And that's even with a loss to South Carolina. So I think Auburn will put up another great running game day, but I don't think it's enough. And last week was the first time I ever bet against Auburn, and we somehow won that game. This week I'm having to do it again. LSU, they win, cover, score goes under 35-24.
Score goes under 35-24. Ben has LSU winning. You know, I think this is an interesting game, but honestly, it feels easy to me. Auburn has no real home advantage thanks to COVID. So that 3-point road favorite thing, a lot of people would tend to take the home dog. It literally isn't making a difference this year. These teams have one shared opponent, South Carolina, who, again, as Ben mentioned, beat Auburn, but was crushed last week by LSU. Now, I would tend to think Gus Malzahn is a better coach than Ed Orgeron, but LSU is actually 2-1 against the spread in their last 3 matchups, and LSU has not lost to Auburn since 2016. So, again, if you were going to bet Auburn in this game, and your thinking is, well, I'm going to bet Auburn to win outright because they're a 3-point dog, and that's where the value is going to be, I absolutely would not bet that. The 2016 Auburn team was uniquely gifted. This is not a uniquely gifted Auburn team. On top of that, like, I just don't think Auburn's very good. I watched them play multiple times this year. The defense is obviously missing last year's graduates. I mean, Derek Brown, I think, has left a gaping hole on that defensive line. And Bo Nix, I mean, Ben, has he regressed? Like, he looked better last year than he's looked this year. He does not look good at all.
Yeah, the offense, it's struggling, man. Yeah, struggling
it,
for sure.
It is bad, and Bo Nix certainly is not helping things. I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like we're one or two more weeks of that play away from him getting benched. And maybe that's not a permanent solution, but just his play has been so awful. He's missing guys wide open. There is something with this offense that's just not clicking. I was an Auburn believer several weeks ago, but I'm officially out. And I'm not, this bet is not as much about LSU as it is about Auburn. I'm going to take LSU though to win 24-10, and I'm all about that under. All right. So let's go to Ohio State heading to Penn State. Now this crazy game, the line here, Ohio State minus 12, the over under 63.5. Ben, give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, so I doubted Ohio State and Justin Fields in the game against Nebraska. It was stupid. Look, I honestly thought Nebraska actually had, like, a care to give. And, you know, after the first quarter, I felt good. Nebraska came out. They were on fire. They were like, yeah, we sued the Big Ten. We're in it to win it, baby. We're playing football. And then Ohio State was like, hold on. We're the big boys in this game. Take a seat and just lay the hammer down. Penn State just coming off of a loss to Indiana where they, you know, Hoosier beat you, buddy. That's a basketball team. Penn State is a good team. And, you know, in our season preview, you said Penn State would regress. I thought that they would be better than this. But here's the big thing. Here's the big difference in this game. Justin Fields, 20 of 21, 95.2%, 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also ran for 54 yards on the touchdown. Holy cow. Can you put on a better opening game? Look, Justin Fields and Ohio State, clearly the better team in this. It's a 13-point spread right now when I got into this thing. I'm saying easily, Ohio State covers that. They win. Score goes over 45-24.
Ben has Ohio State just crushing Penn State there. And, you know, Ben, to let you know about Justin Fields, I mean, like, this is what I thought we were going to see last week, you know, before that game against Nebraska. As I'm looking at this going, this team, and specifically Justin Fields, has sat there all year long and watched Clemson and Trevor Lawrence light it up. Trevor Lawrence is the presumptuous number one pick. I don't think Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields is tired of hearing it. I think he wants to start seeing some love. There's people talking about the North Dakota State, Trey Lance at North Dakota State going ahead of Justin Fields. Justin Fields is like, come on, like, I'm a generational talent. I'm going to go out and prove it. And honestly, if you're Trevor Lawrence, I kind of feel like if Justin Fields keeps doing this and he takes over the number one pick, I feel like you're like, okay, thank you. Like, yeah, go to the Jets. Like, please, go to the Jets or the Falcons. Yeah, like, I'm good. This is a really tough game to bet. Part of me wants to say I told you so on Penn State after what I saw last week. But honestly, they dominated Indiana last week, more than doubling the Hoosiers' offensive yards, and Penn State was dominant on third down. It wasn't just they beat Indiana on yards. They beat Indiana in every statistical category. There is no reason in the world why Indiana should have been in that game. Another part of me says, well, they lost to Indiana, and they were hit with 10 penalties for 100 yards, so they're undisciplined. Maybe that's true. I don't know. What we saw from Penn State, it's just such an anomaly. I don't think people are really giving enough credit to that game and just how ridiculous and crazy it was. You also have to look at what Penn State did last week against Nebraska. And you have to wonder, well, what kind of value does Nebraska even have? Because if that's 2019 Nebraska, okay, Ohio State crushed them. Like, that's not a big deal. But there's, I think, an argument to be made that if you watch part of that game, like, there were things Nebraska did, especially early, that made you go, oh, that's different. They might actually be a good team. And if that's a team that ends up winning 7-8 games, we're going to look back and go, oh my gosh, like Ohio State just crushed a really good team. So have they improved and Ohio State's just that good? Also, I think there's a real statistical edge here that we have to look at when you think about this game. Master Teague and Trey Sermon combined for only 89 rushing yards last week. Most of Ohio State's rushing yards came from Justin Fields. And Penn State last week allowed just 41 rushing yards. 41 rushing yards from Indiana. They shut down Indiana's run game. The Buckeyes look completely dependent on Justin Fields. And granted, good Lord, the kid is absolutely amazing. I think this year's draft class, I think it's Trevor Lawrence is 1A and Justin Fields is 1B. But are you really willing to give 12 points to a road favorite that so heavily relies on one player? I think this game is really, really close, but I think you have to think about the value, and the value right now is all over Penn State because I think Vegas knows everybody watched that Penn State-Indiana game, but nobody's really thinking about the fact that Penn State just dominated Indiana. So I'm going to take Penn State with a backdoor cover. Ohio State wins it, but I think it's 30-20. I'm going to take Penn State and the 12-point line. So
we'll see, man.
If this happens, you are going to not only will you hate me, more than that, you are really going to hate Ohio State.
100%.
Let's move on to our third game of the weekend. We are flying here. Texas at Oklahoma State. The Cowboys favored by just 3.5 after what happened last week. The over under 58.5. Ben, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so between these two games, I doubted Oklahoma State last week. We both did. And they came out and they beat a very good Iowa State team. So victory-wise, I think it's pretty certain in this game. However, you know, Texas is an explosive team. So let's break down the numbers. Looking at Texas, they're outscoring teams 45-32. Remember that they did put up a ton of points against Oklahoma and still lost that game. It's typically one of the reasons why they have so many yards and so many points. If you look at their yards for, 482, yards against, 383. So very much better offense to defense. Sam Ellinger's been good this year. 61.6%, 1,481 yards, 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Looking at Oklahoma State. Outscoring teams 29-12, so much better defense when you look at the scoring pattern. Outpacing teams in yards gained 418-303. And Illingsworth is 73% for 478 and 3 touchdowns and 8 interception. So looking at the two, incomparable. I think defense really something that doesn't exist in the Big 12, but exists on Oklahoma State's team, is what makes the difference in this one. Oklahoma State is a 3.5-point favorite, I think is an easy take. I'm picking Oklahoma State to win, cover. I think the score will go under 31-17. Texas has our worst game of the year.
Wow. This is unbelievable, Ben.
You didn't pick the same score as me again, did you?
I swear to God.
All right, everyone. Bet Texas.
Yeah. Like, I'm tempted just to switch to Texas, but then I think the omen's thrown off. So, yeah, if you're listening, I think just based on this, you now have to bet Texas.
This 3 weeks in a row.
This is the third straight week in the row on the third game of the weekend that we've bet. Well, we have bet the same team winning by the same exact score. What the hell are we doing, Ben?
We don't talk about this stuff before we get
we
on
we
here.
Don't. I swear we don't. I've
we do
got
this
it
on our own
down.
Silos.
And as you were reading, or as we were talking about what you were saying, as you were going through that prediction, Ben, I said, I know he's going to say 31-17. Like, I'm going, I know that is about what's about to come out of his mouth. And sure enough, like, as you were saying it, I mouthed it. I just said 31-17, and that's what came out. It's remarkable at this point.
Well, let's break like the curse.
We're like a married couple that's been together for too long. all right. So the line here again, 3.5 Oklahoma State, over under 58.5. I think it's always important to look at the week prior when you make a bet and ask, why is the team getting or losing value? Right? Because if you looked at the season, you look at Oklahoma State, you look at Texas, you're like, let everybody go Oklahoma State, right? But why is Texas getting value? Why is this line only 3.5 when it's at Oklahoma State? Texas is getting value because last week they shut down Baylor's run game, and their main issues have been on the defensive side of the ball. We know Texas can score. They've got Sam Ellinger. They've got a good run game. They've got good receivers. They can score. So most look at what they did last week and think, well, Texas fixed the defense. I don't buy it, though. Baylor is not an elite offensive team. They just aren't. And Dave Aranda is a defensive guy. He's not an offensive guy. This is also not a team that relies on the run. So Texas shutting down Baylor's run game, I don't care. It's great, but it's not the same Baylor team from a year ago. It's not the same Baylor coach from a year ago. It's a defensive coach. I think it's a different team. Oklahoma State, however, just went and, I mean, in my opinion, I know Iowa State covered, but Oklahoma State really rocked Iowa State. Like, if you were watching that game, and I was sitting there going, you know what, I picked Iowa State to cover 3.5, and of course, it ended up being a 3-point spread. But if you watch that game, Oklahoma State was in control almost the entire second half. Like, Iowa State could not get anything going. All of the tension has been placed on Chuba Hubbard and what he does for the Cowboys. But if you watch this team really closely, he is the icing. He is not the cake to this team. Spencer Sanders and this Oklahoma State defense, they're the cake to this team. Oklahoma State has maybe one of the best secondaries in the country, and nobody's talking about it. They are really, 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 really good. After last week, I think Oklahoma State could legitimately be the fourth playoff team. I am not kidding. I watched this team last week, and I thought, that is a dominant team. Mike Gundy, this is the best team he has ever had at Oklahoma State. And so, yeah, give me the Cowboys in a route 31-17. We're going to take a break here in a second. Before we do, I'm going to give you some interesting notes on this game, because I do think second week in a row, Oklahoma State's involved in one of the more interesting games. So again, Ben and I, third straight week of predicting a game where we've got the same team with the same exact score, and past 2 weeks, we've both been wrong. On top of that, if we're talking about omens, we know that if you bet against the public, you typically win. This is the one thing that scares me about this bet is the public is all over Oklahoma State. 64% of the public betting Oklahoma State. That's a strong sign that you should take Texas. And I did look at that before making this pick. The reason why I still took Oklahoma State is I just, sometimes I think Vegas gives value where value shouldn't be given. And this is a case where I think they're giving value to Texas, because all Vegas is looking at really is spreadsheets and numbers and all different things like that. And so this is where I think I can come in and I can see what's happening on the tape, and I can look at what Texas did last week to Baylor and go, okay, well, they beat a bad Baylor team that I don't believe in. So I still don't believe in Texas. That's why I've got Oklahoma State here. I think this is a very interesting game, though. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We will be back after this break. On the other side of this break, we have two more games for you. Indiana versus Rutgers and Kansas State versus West Virginia. We will be right back after this. This is Moneyline. There's nothing left to say. I know where I'm going. We starting here today. And you know, you know. Welcome back to Moneyline. Thank you for joining us. Game number 4 this week, Indiana versus Rutgers. Before we get to that, though, just some important notes. If you have not already, listen, if you're living in 2020 and you don't have a smartphone, I don't know what the heck's wrong with you. Get a smartphone. But if you've got a smartphone, which I know all of you do if you're listening to this show, because you're probably listening on your smartphone, download the Full Press Coverage app. Literally, that is where you're going to get all the great podcasts, articles, everything else. I've got it on my phone. You need to download it. Also, go visit our friends at Sportscaster. That is where you can go find our shows like Full Press Coverage Live and Pardon the Puck. If you're a hockey fan, it's a great place to go to watch people podcast live. So go to Sportscaster. All right, next game, Indiana versus Rutgers. Really interesting game here. Ben said this one confused him a little bit. Indiana minus 10 and the over-under 52.5. Ben, take it away.
Yes, yeah, so looking at the stats from last week, I have no idea why Indiana's a 10-point favorite in this game. Look, they were not good against Penn State. Yes, they won. 211 yards, though? Come on. So let's break down the numbers for both these teams, because honestly, in comparison, they're both pretty bad. So let's break it down. Hoosiers are outscoring their opponents because they played one game, 36-35, 211-4 in yardage, 488 against Michael Penix, I think is it, 52.8%, 170 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Rutgers, on the other hand, outscoring teams 38-27, still being outgained by Michigan State, 369 to 276-4. So with Noah Vedrell is their quarterback, 62.1%, 169-1-1. So I didn't watch either of these games last week, so I don't know how the teams actually look. Just statistically wise, mind-boggling. Don't understand. So looking at this week and looking at predictions was kind of tough. I didn't want to pull any like feels into this because I wanted to go strictly by the numbers. For whatever reason, everyone's telling us that Indiana is the better team. Because of that, I expect Rutgers to cover. I don't see any team having an edge, so I really am looking forward to hearing your analysis, CJ. I saw the Hoosiers winning for whatever reason. 35-31, Rutgers covers, score goes over, but I wouldn't bet this one.
Love Rutgers in this game. This is my pick of the week.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's talk about value from the previous week again. Indiana beat Penn State, right? But not just that, they beat them in overtime on the most exciting, most controversial call of the week that everybody's been watching a replay. They have all the attention. Here's the problem. They were literally outplayed in that game from start to finish. And if not for a big, big mistake by Penn State near the end, they lose that game. And if they lose that game, this line is closer to Indiana minus 3. Okay? Well, instead of that happening, Indiana ends up winning. Now they're ranked like 17th in the country. Do you really believe right now that Indiana is the 17th best team in the country?
Absolutely not.
No. And again, do you really believe that because of a controversial call, all of a sudden they're 7 points better than they would have been if they would have lost that game? Well, no. You might see a team improve a number of points from 1 week to the next. Just like Wisconsin, if they were to be playing Nebraska this weekend, they would have been favored initially probably by about 17, 18. But because their quarterback wouldn't be playing due to COVID, that line would have dropped down to about 10. So that type of thing can happen. But in a case like this, a line moving from minus 3 to minus 10 because of that, it's just, to me, that is not enough reason to take Indiana. Other thing, too, is people are going to look at that and think, okay, well, Rutgers was outgained last week, too, so what's different about them? Again, you got to look at the game. Michigan State kept passing towards the end of the game. That's why they racked up all of those yards. Truthfully, the yardage before Michigan State decided to go pass heavy and Rutgers just decided to try and run out the clock was because Michigan State was, the yardage was right there. Both teams were neck and neck. And then Michigan State started passing all the time. Well, you're going to rack up a bunch of yards. And Michigan State would move the ball. And then Rocky Lombardi, who I'm now nicknaming Rocky Bullwinkle, just threw interception after interception after interception. He ended the game with 43 pass attempts. And Michigan State only gained 50 yards on the ground. So, yeah, they outgained Rutgers. But it was all because of Lombardi throwing the ball. This is a tough game to bet because there's not really a player for either of these teams or a factor that you can rely on. But I think Greg Schiano is sustainable and has been in a position like this before as a head coach. And I don't think what Indiana did last week is sustainable. Indiana is a better team than what we thought they were. They are. They're not this much better. And Rutgers, I think, is a much, much better team than what we thought they were at the start of the year. So I'm going to take Rutgers to cover, but I think Indiana does win barely in a close one. 28-27, give me the Hoosiers just barely inching it out, but I've got Rutgers covering the 10 points. And let's move on to our fifth and final game of the weekend. Kansas State will travel to West Virginia. It's the Wildcats heading to the Mountaineers. West Virginia, okay, so Kansas State's ranked. Kansas State has the better record. West Virginia is favored by 3.5. And the over-under is 46. Ben, how the heck is an unranked team favored by 3.5 over a ranked team?
Well, if you look at Kansas State, that loss is to Arkansas State. So, I mean, that tells you a little bit. Once again, I haven't watched a single Kansas State game this year. And if you look at their game, their last game against Kansas, huge blowout there because, I mean, look, Les Miles, Kansas is not Les Miles, LSU. So, just a terrible team. Like, so bad. So the only way a Kansas team can get a win is by beating Kansas. But, I mean, Kansas State has 4, so good for them. Looking at the numbers, Kansas State is outscoring teams 35-24 and being outgained 428-370. So, take that as you will. It's weird because I haven't watched any of these games, looking at the way that their stats come into play. 3 good running backs, 3 good wide receivers, and 2 good quarterbacks. Do they have a 2 quarterback system? Not sure. Okay, well, they're when I say good, I mean like good in relative to like Bo Nix this season good. Because they're in the upper 50s, lower 60s. So I think Bo Nix is good. I'll say that right here and there. Just in a terrible offensive system. West Virginia, though, looking at them. Outscoring teams 32-22. They are outgaining teams 461-262. So right there, better defense. Jarrett Doge, I think is his name. I know I've talked about him already once. 64.1% on the year, 1,389 yards, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You also have to talk about Letty Brown when you're talking about West Virginia. He's a fantastic running back, averaging over 100 yards a game, 592 on the year, and 7 touchdowns. So looking at the two, I don't know if Kansas State really has an offensive identity in comparison to West Virginia, a team who I picked against at Baylor, and they won that game. So I'm feeling what the nation's feeling. I think West Virginia wins this game too. 31-21, West Virginia covers and the score goes over that 46.
You know, the interesting thing about this game is sometimes you will see a game where Vegas just completely goes against what the media is telling you. And the media right now is Kansas State ranked 16th. West Virginia is not ranked. But West Virginia is favored by 3.5. The other thing is this game's in Morgantown, okay? So generally, in any year, whenever you're looking at a game, and let's take this game like 3.5, let's say it's a normal game where you have full capacity and 100%, normally what I look at is I go, okay, so home field advantage here would be normally about 3.5 points, okay? So if home field advantage is 3.5 points and West Virginia is favored by 3.5, what does that mean? That means Vegas is telling you these teams are virtually even, okay? So if they're virtually even and you've watched both teams play and you believe that Kansas State is a better team, then you know, okay, well, you could take Kansas State with 3.5 points and feel relatively safe. If you watch those two teams and you think they're virtually even, you can take West Virginia. Okay, but that's typically what I look at. Home field advantage is normally about 3 to 3.5 points. But here's the thing. Stadiums aren't 100% full, so there isn't a 3.5 point home field advantage. And if you look at the game so far this year, that has not yielded to be the case. So what Vegas is telling you, literally, is West Virginia is a better team than Kansas State. Well, how could that be? And you also have to look at where the public is on this game. 68% of the public is on Kansas State to cover 3.5 points. So, I mean, like, the public's on Kansas State. The media's on Kansas State. But what I really think this game comes down to, because you look at Kansas State, they've got the better record. But look at this stat. And this is the stat that Vegas guys, they weigh heavily. And I don't fully understand all the metrics that go into this. I just know that Vegas looks at net yards per play. So Kansas State is 5-1. But they are only netting half a yard more per play than their opponents. In West Virginia, they might be, I think, 3-2. They're netting a full yard more than their opponents. Now, that sounds small, I know. But Vegas really looks at this stuff. And what that tells you is Kansas State, they are ranked because of their record. But the yards per play doesn't yield what it should for a team that's 5-1. About once a month or so, there's a game where the line makes no sense and the public and the media goes all in on the team they think they should win. But this happens because Vegas literally has something that everybody else isn't picking up on. And I think they have something here, and I'm going to basically hedge my bet against the public. If this were me and I was basing what I had seen on the field, I would say Kansas State all day. But I don't think this is about that. I think this is about statistics. I think Vegas has something I can't see. I'm going to take West Virginia 23-17 in this game. They cover the 3.5 points and they beat Kansas State here at home.
Love it.
There you go. So Ben and I agreeing a little bit more this week. I don't know how I feel about that, Ben, after last week. You going to let me down?
I hope not.
And we're pretty much on the money those last three picks.
Yeah. I mean, hey, here's the thing. If Kansas State can breathe with all the smoke in the air from those burning couches in Morgantown, then they'll have a better chance than I think they will. So,
yeah, absolutely. So Ben and I actually agreed on four games this week. The only one we didn't agree on was Ohio State and Penn State. Everything else we agreed on. Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting week, Ben. Is there any game that you particularly have your eye on?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be watching the Auburn game.
Well, we know that.
Maybe a little bit sad.
I mean, does a frog beat its ass a hopping? Yeah, you'll be watching the Auburn game.
Between these, I'm really interested to see the Rutgers-Indiana game, just because looking at... I spent literally half an hour on this game, and I was like, how in the hell did these two teams win against Penn State and Michigan State?
You know, I have fully reeled you into gambling when I've got you spending a half hour on Indiana and Rutgers.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's just I love statistics, and looking at it, I couldn't get it. I mean, I had to really get in there and look at some things I don't typically do for predictions and all. I'll be watching that one very intently. How about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna be giving a sharp eye on Arkansas and Texas A&M this weekend. I feel like Texas A&M should probably cover here. The line here is 12.5, Texas A&M. But, I mean, Texas A&M, a top 10 team in the country. Arkansas at times has looked really good this year. Especially in the defensive side of the ball. So I would be hesitant to bet this game. But I'm telling you, if Arkansas finds a way to cover 12.5 points in Texas A&M, I think that team, there's a lot of people saying that team could be the fourth playoff team. But if Arkansas covers 12.5 points, I think Texas A&M is, I would put a big warning sign on them. And I would be really, really, really looking to bet against them further down the road as they get into some of these bigger games. So I've got my eye on that one. Another game I'm looking at closely, too, is TCU heads to Baylor, and TCU a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under there, 48. Listen, TCU's 1-3. Baylor's 1-2. TCU absolutely has to win that game, don't they? I mean, think about Gary Patterson.
Yep.
When TCU has not been competitive in now about 3 to 4 years. If they start off the year 1-4, is he in jeopardy?
I mean,
he built the program, but is he in jeopardy?
I don't think in 2020 that you're in jeopardy. I mean, I think, honestly, Gus Malzahn could be 1-4 right now and still not in jeopardy. It's a weird year.
Right. There's, I mean, some coaches are going to get fired, though, right?
I'm sure. But I think those coaches would have had it coming, and I don't think Gary Patterson has it coming.
Yeah, I look at TCU and the year they're having, and, you know, if they had had a good year last year or the year before, I would have said, okay, not a big deal. But the fact that they were not good last year and they're responding again with what appears to be another down year, if they go into Baylor, first-year head coach, defensive team, and they can't cover a 2.5-point spread and they can't win that game, I think a lot of TCU fans are going to be up in arms over that. I do not think they are going to like that. It's going to be a very interesting weekend of football. Of course, game of the week has to be Wake Forest at Syracuse, right?
Where is College Game Day going?
College Game Day.
Here, while you're looking that up, I'll give you my my game outside of the ones we picked. Very interested to see Cincy versus Memphis. Memphis, yes, is a team that, you know, down a little bit this year versus where they typically are. Definitely some coaching changes made that happen. Cincinnati surprised me last week. And I, you know, statistically looking at it, thought SMU was the better offense. Clearly, no. Cincinnati's defense just stomped them out and blew that game out the water. So, look, you think Oklahoma State could very well be that fourth team. I think Cincinnati's still definitely in it. It gets more interesting each week as we go a little bit further, and some of these teams just continue to surprise me specifically. Both Oklahoma State and Cincinnati I had out last week, and, you know, two teams that definitely proven their worth right now. So definitely gonna keep my eye on that one as well.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati, the more they keep playing, the more they look like they could be a playoff team. I mean, I think that fourth playoff spot, we're starting to see it kind of shape up to who could get in there. I mean, I think it could be Georgia, although if they drop another game, which, I mean, I think they're going to win the SEC East, so that puts them in the SEC Championship game. They pretty much have to win out and win the SEC to get in. I don't know that that's going to happen. So then you start thinking about, okay, well, who could do it? I think maybe Texas A&M, since they already played Bama, if they were to win out. I think Oklahoma State definitely has to be in that conversation. But then I think you have to start thinking about Cincinnati at this point. And if they survive Memphis, I mean, here's the thing. Who do they?
Yep.
State College, PA, for Penn State and Ohio State.
Ah. Should be a good one.
should be a good one. Yes, indeed.
Hey, I have one last thing that I want to bring up and see about if there's a betting line for it. But, you know, we talked a little bit ago about how Trevor Lawrence all season long has been like the front runner for pick number one.
Yeah.
And, you know, having one Justin Fields come out and just have one of the best games of his life and really pick up some steam there and get some attention. Also, at the same time, Trevor Lawrence is sending messages to teams like the Jets and saying, hey, if I'm number one pick and you want me, I may just stay at Clemson. What are the betting lines on someone else other than Trevor Lawrence going number one overall? I think it's interesting to look at right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough bet because I think at the end of the day, there's two factors here. One, Because I think this is a thing a lot of people think about is, you know, it doesn't make sense for him to go to the Jets. Like, if you were Trevor Lawrence, would you really want your career to be ruined by the Jets? Well, no. And that sounds great. But the thing is there's so much more money to be made if you are the number one pick. And I think you've got a 21-year-old kid, and you're basically saying, look, you're leaving all of this money on the table by not going number one. And you see what happened with Tua. He was going to be the number one pick, and then he got hit with that injury. I think it's tough. So, if Trevor Lawrence goes back another year at Clemson, if he were to come back, I think it's tough because he's leaving all that money on the table. And I don't know that he wants to do that. And more importantly, it means he spends another year in college, and that means he's going to wait another year until he gets his second contract in the NFL. And that's what we all know is the biggest contract. So I think there's kind of an argument there to be made. The second piece of it is I think as long as he declares he is going number one no matter what Justin Fields does. And I love Justin Fields. But the fact of the matter is Trevor Lawrence is a transformative talent. There's just nobody that's been that good before. Or at least not anybody in a really, really, really long time. The most hype around a quarterback I can remember is maybe John Elway. I cannot think of a time where more attention was paid to a quarterback like this. So I think because of that, Trevor Lawrence is going number one. And then the last piece about it too, because you bring up Elway, is could somebody tell Trevor Lawrence, like, hey, you could still go number one, just tell the Jets you're not going to play for them, and they have to trade the number one pick. You still go out, you still get paid, they have to trade the number one pick. All of a sudden, could you imagine the hype around that? That he's not going to play for the Jets, so they are not going to pick him. Now they have to trade out of the number one spot, and now it's a frenzy for who's going to trade into that number one spot. So, you know, I would be cautious about making that bet one way or the other, because I do think there's potential that maybe he stays, but also I think he more than likely goes, and then you just wonder when he goes, how does it play out?
Some good points.
Very interesting discussion and something to think about.
We just got to hope that the Jets win a couple games and Atlanta doesn't, so he comes and has some fantastic wide receivers to throw to.
Yeah. You know what I wish the NFL would do? So, like, we have the NBA and we have the lottery. I wish the NFL would take the 10 worst teams every year and basically say, okay, if you are the number one pick, you get to pick out of these 10 teams where you want to go. And then they leave it to the player to decide where they want to go, rather than you can go 0-16 and then draft the best quarterback in the country. Because I just don't think it's fair to tell a kid like Trevor Lawrence, like, hey, if you want to come out and make money this year, and believe me, I'm all for, like, owners and businesses and colleges. I'm not one of these, like, players need to get paid, all this type of stuff. But at the same time, like, I do look at it again, I'm like, you couldn't convince me to go to the Jets.
It's true.
I mean, really, right? Like, if you're that talented, do you want your career ruined by the Jets?
Yeah, and it would stop teams tanking for Trevor.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, at the end of the year, you might have some teams try to drop a game or two so they could end up in that bottom 10 spot, but yep. I think you're absolutely right. Teams would stop tanking. Maybe the Falcons would find a way to win games at the end of them.
Doubtful.
That's true. What the Falcons would do is they'd be terrible and find a way to win just enough to be number 11.
That's so true.
they would fail at tanking. Like, they would choke at tanking.
Yep.
All right, well, it has been a good week. Week 9 in the books. We are officially approaching the back 9 of this thing. Very, very, very fun. Thank y'all for joining us again. Download the Full Press Coverage app. Have a good week.
Nobody open.
yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There it goes.